Hi, and welcome to Hey, We're Talking Here. This is our 7th episode, I think.
Yep.
And we've got a couple of things to talk about. We've got two movies, Jurassic World 2, Fallen Kingdom, and very fresh, Hereditary, the new horror film that came out yesterday. I probably would do a little segment on E3, because that's relatively fresh. There were a couple of conferences last week, and I think you have a book to talk about, Chloe?
Yep, I haven't finished it yet, but I've started reading I'll Be Gone in the Dark by Michelle McNamara, I think her name is. So yeah, be talking about that a bit.
Cool, so stay tuned.
So first we're going to talk about Hereditary, which only came out yesterday. The previews were on Thursday, I think. So yesterday morning when, like, everyone had seen the previews, I've seen a lot of good reviews for it.
Yeah,
in fact, I hadn't seen a single bad thing about it. So I was very excited anyway, because we first saw the trailer when we see A Quiet Place, and we're like, yes!
And it looked really good.
Horror movies are coming. And that was really exciting, because we're a big fan. So, yeah, we're going to structure this a little bit more than usual.
We've got a lot of ranting to do.
Yes, we've got a little bit of a ramble going on, so bear with us. We're so sorry. So first, what are we talking about first? Well,
we should talk about the narrative and, like, the story as a whole.
Okay.
And
it's a good place to start.
The pacing.
Yeah.
Because it is a good place to start, because it's a weird plot. But I saw a story the other day where it was like, oh, Hereditary's insane plot explained. It's not insane. It's not confusing.
Yeah.
Until, it's just, like, kind of stupid.
Until maybe the end, and you're like, I need them to explain it a bit more, you know?
Yeah.
But
that's the problem. They do explain it, but it's just really stupid.
Yeah. Maybe we should talk about spoilers at the end, in case anyone has seen it and they want to, you know, hear us rant about it. I don't know why they would, but there you go. So the narrative, I think it could have been condensed quite a lot.
They could have cut out about half an hour of it. They were trying to do, who's the director? And writer, Ari Aster.
I think this is his first feature film, if I'm correct.
If it's his first, I commend him for attempting to do something slightly new and slightly different and interesting. It fell short. It was not good, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
He was trying to do too many things at once in terms of, like, the story. Like, it was, and it took, like, I think you said it yesterday, he took himself a bit too seriously. Like, it was trying to be, is it mental illness? Or is it a ghost? But it was trying to do that at the same time, you know, with the family. Like, there was a history of mental illness within the family, and the family was, like,
hence the name.
Yeah, and the family was, like, slowly deteriorating and getting a bit, like, crazy family drama.
Yeah.
But it never really happened all at once. It was really definitive. Like, it was one moment, it was, okay, bitches be crazy. There's some mental illness going on here. And then the next second it would be, okay, so it's definitely a ghost. There was, like, one or two moments.
It wasn't really ambiguous by the middle of the film.
Which it should have been.
But I guess the kind of mental illness thing, you know, that could be kind of seen as a bit cliche, maybe. But I kind of would have liked the ambiguity of whether or not it was a ghost or not.
Yeah, because there's a couple of points, like, at the like half an hour through or 40 minutes into the film, when the brother Peter, he'll every now and again he'll go, do you hear that, and there'll be silence. It was like, okay, is he going a bit crazy? And he wakes up at one point and he thinks he sees, like, a woman at the end of his bed, but you're not like, is it a pile of clothes, is it a woman?
Yeah,
and that keeps it really ambiguous, and I think it in this sort of story that works better than what they ended up doing.
Yeah,
because then they just kind of
the ending kind of got so ridiculous it kind of made me think of, like, something like The Void.
Yeah,
which I don't know why, it just made me think of that, but, like, you know when it gets really crazy at the end, you're like, what the fuck?
It was the pacing was off.
Yeah,
is the problem, because it was trying to do, like, three different things all at once, but it didn't work. So it was like you're watching three separate different things. At one point you're watching mental illness, at one point you're watching a ghost story, at one point you're watching family drama, and you were kind of, at least I was kind of fading in and out of consciousness a little bit in this film. Like, at one point I zoned out a little bit. I was like, oh, come on, man, do something.
Yeah, there's some big gaps where nothing really happens.
Yeah,
if you know, so I think it could have been condensed quite a lot. I didn't expect it to be, it's like over 2 hours, I think.
It didn't
and for
be.
A horror movie, that's, like, a big amount. That's a lot of time. I mean, most horror movies typically probably around an hour and a half, a bit more if you're brave. But typically, I would say that most ones we watch are probably around that time.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a ballsy move, making it over 2 hours.
I don't have a problem with long films when they can justify it.
Yeah,
this
horror,
did not justify it.
A horror movie is difficult to just. It's difficult to justify it being that long, because typically horror is kind of quite fast paced. So you know, like you've got scares coming left, right, and centre, and you're just like. But this was just. I know. I don't mind slow paced horror films.
No,
like
when it was
ghost
building
stories
the suspense,
or something,
yeah.
Where it's like, but yeah, because there were moments where you're like, particularly there was a scene with Peter near the end where it's sort of getting into, you know, the last act.
Shit was going down.
And so like there was this bit where it is quite a long scene and he's just like in his bedroom and it's just really creepy and it just, you're waiting for like a jump scare.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, you're just sitting there. Like I'm not easily scared by horror movies, but that bit was like, ew, no. Stop that right now. And it was just, I really like that scene, and like that I can, that's the sort of thing, the sort of scares I can understand a horror movie being that long. But the thing is, there was nothing, there's no really a reason for it to be this long, the movie as a whole.
Like there was about a 10-minute segment where it was kind of, it was building the suspense and amping it up for something to happen.
Yeah.
And nothing happened. Mm. And it's like, we don't need a jump scare, but at least like show us a figure or something. But it didn't even show us the figure.
Mm.
It was like, I don't know. It was weird. I think the characters were just kind of, I didn't get them.
Yeah.
As a family, they just, I quite liked.
Because they seem like such a normal family, sort of, except for the little girl, who's kind of a bit odd.
Yeah.
You're like, they seem like a normal family, and then you kind
and then all of a sudden it all goes to shit in like a split second, and it's like, okay.
And then there's a scene where Toni Collette's character is in the sort of group meeting, and she's like spilling out all her past and everything,
yeah.
And it's just like, well, that came out of nowhere.
I think it does that a lot in the film.
Yeah, but that was a good scene, like, don't get me wrong, but I just, there was no really hint of it in the beginning.
I think it explains more than it shows.
Yeah.
Like, it explains through dialogue, and there was a lot of writing on the screen that you couldn't really see, so you couldn't read it, instead of actually, like, portraying it through the moving image. You know, so it was a bit...
Hitchcock would not like this.
Exactly.
No. But yeah, I thought, like, the end scene, there's literally just straight up exposition, like, just straight up, doesn't even... You know, try to leave ambiguous.
It's completely out of the tone of the film, I think.
Yeah.
The end bit. It's like someone just took the end from a different film and put it in.
Because you watch
there.
The beginning and you're like, you see the end and you compare it and you're like, what? How did we get here?
It was a wild
How
ride.
How did we get here? I don't know. It's just, yeah. Do you want to move on to something else? Are we talking about the acting next?
Acting.
I think that'd be a good one to
I think, similarly to the, you know, the narrative and the story and the pacing, it was quite inconsistent, the acting.
Like, some of it was really good, like Toni Collette is really good.
Yeah, and I thought the brother Peter was really good.
Oh, Alex Wolff.
Yeah.
He's actually, like, he's up and coming, I think.
Yeah.
He's quite good.
But it was like, I was thinking to myself this morning, it's almost like they filmed it in like, 2 days.
Yeah.
Like, just go with me on this. It's like, they filmed it in 2 days, and the first day... Everyone on set was like, yeah, we're really, really excited for this. Let's give it our all. And then the next day they were like, oh, I'm kind of bored with this film. Let's just get it over with.
Like, I'm tired now. I'm going to go home.
Yeah. So it kind of switched between those two throughout the film.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes it'd be good. It'd be like, oh, man, this is really good. This is really good acting. I'm really engaged with this. And then the very next moment, like the next second, it would be really melodramatic.
Yeah.
Like, what? Like...
It was quite over the top. I get what you mean.
Yeah, but it wasn't good over the top.
Yeah.
Like, they'd be screaming, and I at one point they were having this isn't really spoiling it, but semi-spoiler, I guess. At one point they were having a seance, and the brother got really scared, and then he started crying. And they're like, okay, if I was in that situation, I'd fucking cry too, but he was crying like a little fucking baby.
I think everyone started laughing at that point.
Yeah.
I was trying really hard not to, because I like try not to be an annoying audience member, but I was just, there were points in this film where the whole audience was laughing.
Particularly the end,
but
and that really annoys me, but
yeah.
I was with them, I was laughing too.
Yeah.
I feel mean saying it, but you couldn't help it.
Yeah, and that's what we mean by it took itself too seriously. Like, it wasn't intentionally, I don't think it was intended
no.
to be funny. It just was at some points, and I couldn't really think
It was almost
why.
Like the horror film version of The Room,
yeah,
a little bit.
That's what it reminded me of at times, yeah. Not as bad, but yeah.
No. But yeah, he just started, like, But obviously you didn't see the tears. That was something as well.
Yeah.
He just put his... He turned his head away and started crying like a baby. And it was like, oh, come on.
It was like really overdramatic crying.
If you were a director, you would have re-fucking done this scene.
Yeah.
Come on. So, like I said, similarly to the rest of the film, it was quite inconsistent,
yeah.
The acting, I think. On the whole, I think it was good. Although, I think, not so much the actors' fault, but more the characters, they were quite one note.
Yeah.
Particularly the father/husband.
Yeah.
Like, he was...
He didn't really have much of a character.
He didn't need to be in there at all. He was good. Don't get me wrong, but... He was just one note throughout the entire film.
Mm.
And then he wasn't. And then I was like, okay. Okay, this is weird. And the brother, again, he kind of switched. No, he stayed one note as well, didn't he? He was basically pretty dead inside for the entire film.
Yeah. But I was like, same.
I'm dead inside my entire life.
Relatable.
But I think... He was really good when, and I think this goes for the narrative as well, when, I'm not going to spoil it until the end, but there was the big shock twist.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of spoiling in itself, but whatever. About half an hour into this film. And I think what they did, like, immediately after that twist, how, like, the brother couldn't look at it.
Yeah.
And then he kind of just went... You know, he went straight to bed and he kind of, like, died inside.
I really like that bit.
That was really, really good.
That was so good. If they focus more on him and his mum's and the relationship with the mum, I think that would have been so much better.
That's exactly what I was saying to my
friend this morning. Exactly, right? So, because their relationship is really interesting and I would like to see more of it.
Yeah.
And that's what really bugged me about this film, because that scene was so good and he showed really how good his acting is in that scene.
Yeah.
So... I think it would have been really good. Because there is a scene where they kind of confront each other about that.
And it's...
But it's just...
It's like, damn.
Yeah. I think if they'd, like, had it, like...
Maybe just him and his mum.
Because at the beginning, you're like, oh, he's like a typical teenager, you know? They don't really... You don't really see the tension between him and his mum. But then he just kind of explains it, and it's like, okay, then... But, like, I think they could have just... Yeah, I think that would have been really good if they'd had that, more of that.
If they'd kept it focused on those two characters and made it more... ambiguous in the horror of, because of the history of mental illness, are they just going insane? Are they delusions? Mm. Or, you know, are they falling apart a bit? Or is there a ghost?
Yeah.
If they had, like, done that better and focused more on that with those two characters, I think it would have been a better film.
Yeah.
But it tried to do too much in too long a time.
Yeah.
That it just, it fell short. It didn't deliver for me, I think.
And I think, like, seeing all these good reviews for it as well, expecting it to be better. I don't know, maybe it's the hype train, but I hadn't really heard anything about the film until like the day it came out. And I mean, I'd seen the trailer, but didn't really know. I didn't look into the film at all because I was like, I just want to see what it's like.
Same.
And you know, because this was one trailer that didn't explain too much. It just kind of gave you a taste of the horror in the film. And it was like, oh, I like that. I dig that about the film. But you know, it's just.
And I quite like that it did what.
People are raving about it, and it's like, but it wasn't, serious issues with it, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it wasn't good. And I haven't heard anything about the issues with it.
It was, again, talking about the hype train, it's this generation's The Exorcist.
Oh, fuck
no, it's bloody not.
I mean, I hate The Exorcist anyway, I couldn't get
I quite like The
Exorcist. I couldn't get past half an hour, I got bored.
I can get why people would find it boring, but I quite like it.
Yeah, maybe I'll try again at some point, but, you know.
I mean...
Yeah, I do feel like it was trying to be The Exorcist a bit.
Ghost Stories is this generation's The Exorcist.
I think every time I see a horror movie now, I'm like, this
isn't
Ghost Stories.
I keep comparing it to Ghost Stories and I shouldn't.
It's not Ghost Stories, man.
But,
I think it is probably one of the best horror films I've seen in a really long time. Yeah, honestly. Right. But I'm just gonna go ahead and say it. I don't care.
And I quite like, in a way, that it did what Marvel has done with... or did with Infinity War and Deadpool 2, where they kind of... tricked us a little bit in the trailer by not showing us everything and by making it look like it's going to be different to what it actually was.
Yeah.
I think that worked in its favour.
Yeah, I like the fact that the film was quite unpredictable.
Yeah.
You didn't really know what was going to happen. That's kind of a fun ride all the time when you have...
And that was really good.
But I think it tried too hard to be unexpected. Like, at the end. You know, I think it was just... Okay, then. I don't know.
I think the... talking about kind of acting and the story and characters again... The character of Joni.
Oh, yeah.
She would have been so much better if they had just kept her as, like, the random grieving stranger.
Yeah, because it was so obvious what was going to happen with that.
Yeah.
It was like really, because, you know, it's just the thing, you know.
And
we're not going to ruin it for the moment, but like, no. It's obvious that she's going to play a bigger part in the story.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, wow, I wonder where this is going.
And there's a bit where the mum, like, goes back to her and is knocking on her door, and the camera kind of zooms out to reveal some... Well, I'm not going to spoil it, to reveal something
Kind
of integral to the plot. And I think it would have been better if Joni had just been this simple woman Who was grieving.
It got a bit overcomplicated.
Yeah. And maybe, like, When the camera zoomed out, it was, like, her dead or something. It was Like, oh, snap. You know, instead of what it actually was.
Yeah.
Because it was really... It was stupid, man. You finished the film going, fuck this, man. That was dumb.
Because I guess the ritual with Rose Spall was kind of similar, and it had an insane ending, but I think it worked better film. I enjoyed it a lot more, and yeah, I don't know, because I know some people probably hate that ending, but also it was originally a book, so they probably had to stay true to that anyway. But I think I enjoyed that sort of, I don't mind like a crazy ending, but it didn't really work for this film.
It was out of nowhere a little bit.
I think it would have been better if it was more of a simple,
yeah,
you know, film. If you know what I mean. Because it started out pretty simple, and it just kind of went crazy at the end. I don't really... It's kind of hard to... I can't quite pinpoint my feelings for this. Because I did enjoy it, but, like, also, I don't
think it was that good. I enjoyed it the way you enjoy a bad horror film, you know what I mean? Like, When you kind of laughed a little bit.
Yeah.
Which I feel kind of mean.
There were quite a few laughs in it, in this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think... okay, let's go on to the scares, because it is a horror film.
Yeah.
And I think when it was scary... Well, it's kind of a double-edged sword, this comment I'm about to say. Because when it was scary, it was really scary because it was really creepy.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I slept like a fucking baby last night.
And that is quite something for Will to say. That is something for me. I mean, after you saw Ghost Stories...
I'm still scared of Ghost Stories.
You slept... I don't think you slept at all that night.
I didn't sleep for about a week.
No. So, like, I don't really get scared by horror films. I do, like, when I'm in the cinema, like, jump scares and stuff, I'm like, okay. But then I sleep fine. Mm. But the thing about this film is that what I really liked about what they did with, like, the lighting, and they kind of show, like, ghosts really in sort of the half dark. Like you said about the clothes on the chair. Darkness. This is the reason I have to sleep with an eye mask on, because I see shapes in the dark, and I'm just like, it freaks me out so much. So, like, that sort of scare I thought was really interesting, because you kind of see...
kind of saw it, kind of not.
Yeah, and that it's was like,
is
was
it
creepy.
A figure, is it...
There was a part where you didn't see it at first, you don't notice it.
There was, like, a figure in the corner of the room.
That's the kind of horror that really scares me. Like, you know that bit in Insidious where she's like... Rose Byrne's character is doing the laundry or something, and then she, like, walks past the ghost, but first time I watched that, I didn't notice it. Scary.
It's like the scene in The Grudge, the Japanese Grudge, where she appears in the window, and you only see it, like, the second or third time you watch it.
Yeah.
Things like that are scary.
Because you don't notice it. Well. And it's like, what if that happened in real life? I wouldn't notice it in real life, and there'd be a ghost there watching me. I don't want that. I do not want that.
Gotta be more observant.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was quite creepy at the time, but I did sleep okay. But that is the kind of horror that scares me, to be honest. And I thought that was really good.
And I think I also have to commend it on the fact that it didn't use jump scares.
It didn't.
It had, like, two minor ones.
I think one was, like, a bird flying into a window. And that's, like, the number one trope of horror, that you have to have a bird flying into the window. It just has to happen.
It was literally just building suspense until you saw a figure, and then it would linger on the figure for a little bit just to scare you.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it would be the person running away or something. Yeah. The figure wouldn't, like, lurch towards you.
Mm.
Like, you kind of kept expecting it to.
Yeah.
And I quite liked that it didn't. It was quite sedate, in a way.
Yeah.
I mean, it did get quite gory and a little bit full-on in the end. It did. But, again, that kind of came out of nowhere and kind of went against the entire tone of the rest of the film.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't quite as scary.
Because it wasn't, like, gore up until that point, really,
Except
for one part, but that wasn't really shown too much. It was just, like, one shot, I think,
and
that was kind of it.
So it was
mostly ghost scares.
Yeah.
But, like, not jump scares.
So I think when it was scary, it was quite scary when you're in the cinema
watching it. But it took a really long time for it to actually scare me, because I think when it did, it was, like, in the last act of the film.
Yeah.
So it took a really long time before I was like, oh, this film is kind of a little bit scary, I guess. But it took that long for me before I was like that, you know.
Again, because it's inconsistent, the pacing's off. Like, it'll be it'll have like one minor scare and then it'll be like family drama for about half an hour.
Yeah.
And then it'll have another minor scare and it'll be family drama for another half an hour. And then it'll be full on shit going down for the last like 20 minutes. I'm like, okay.
This is a changed pace a little
this
bit.
This is a change of pace.
Yeah.
I think, because you can't really talk about the scares without talking about the ending. Do you want to spoil the ending now?
Okay, yeah, okay. Full on spoilers right now.
Full on spoiler of the ending.
Don't listen to this part if you haven't seen it yet, because you got to see it for yourself, really. I mean, I don't even want to spoil it for anyone. But yeah, go ahead.
So the ending, it's kind of...
It's kind of hinted at a little
bit. It's peppered out throughout the entire film a little bit. Like
but
every
not
so often.
Enough for you to be...
Not enough for the ending to really be like, oh, of course.
Oh, of course that demons. Yes.
It's essentially all of us... It reminded me a little bit of... Sorry, I know we've been quite long-winded with this spoiler.
Yeah, but I think this is a good, interesting topic to discuss. It has become, like, even though it's one film, it's like, I think it deserves a discussion.
It does.
So go ahead.
It reminded me a little bit... I can't remember the name of it, but it reminded me a little bit of the film we saw at Fright Fest last year, where it was like people going into each other's dreams or something, and then suddenly there were... Remember it was really bad?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the really fucking weird one where that woman was, like, giving birth or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, the demon
and then
baby.
All of a sudden
then, yeah.
there were Satanists.
Yes.
Spoiler,
that is exactly
there were Satanists in the end.
Yeah, there were Satanists.
Just
of
all
course.
Of a sudden there were Satanists at the end. And that's why everyone was laughing, because all of a sudden the brother got possessed, and then he was walking to the treehouse where his sister used to sleep, and his dead mother floated up into
That was quite funny.
That was fine.
I don't know. Everyone laughed at that, though. It was just like, the way she floated up. Just
yeah. It was like she was being lifted up by a rope.
They could have done without Shining that. They could have had her like crawling up like she was possessed or something. That would have been better. But floating was just a bit weird.
And as he was walking, there was loads of naked people. And it turns out they were naked Satanists.
Why were they
and
naked,
it was like,
though,
it didn't
man?
Need to be naked, man.
It was like It Follows, you know, where they're always, like, naked. The ghosts are naked.
Yeah,
like,
that was boring.
Like, that guy that was, like, standing on the roof naked. I was like...
It's like, why?
I hate that film.
People are just going to laugh at that, man. And they did, rightly so, because it was out of nowhere near enough.
Yeah.
It was weird as fuck, but not in a good way.
Yeah.
And it just kind of made everyone laugh.
Yeah.
Including myself a little bit.
And we don't like to be those annoying audience members that are always laughing.
I hate when people laugh at a horror film. It's like, fuck you, find it scary. But you couldn't help.
Yeah.
You couldn't help it. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But I think... First off, two things. First off, I think it would have been better if it had... I know it's just one man's opinion, and what can I really say?
Yeah.
But personally, I think it would have been better if the film had ended, like, cut to black, when the brother jumped out of the window and you saw that blue light go on him.
I thought it was going to end there.
It should have ended there, because then it's a bit, like, ambiguous still.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, something's happened, but what's happened? You know what I mean? But then it just had that extra 5-10 minutes of random Satanists, and it was like...
Well, I did really like that shot where they, like, put the crown on him, and he's just, like, he looks really weird, and, like, the camera just stays on him.
Yeah.
I thought that was quite good, but, like, other than that, I was just like, this is fucking crazy.
And I think,
And then they, like, explain the whole thing to you.
Yeah.
And, like, I kind of needed them to, but I didn't want them to.
No.
You know what I mean?
I think sometimes horror films are better when you don't understand, when it's left like, okay, what the fuck was that?
Yeah.
That was creepy.
Definitely.
I also think, if you're going to have Satanists, I think in this film it would have been better, because it was...
Could they not be naked? That would be good.
Yeah, firstly, could they not be naked?
Did not see that. Traumatised for life.
Secondly, because throughout the film, particularly at the beginning of the film, the mother talks about her grandmother, who's died at the beginning of the film, having a bit of a, you know, hidden mystery past.
Yeah.
Bit of a dark past. And she sounds a bit weird, and there's a little bit of... strangeness going on surrounding her and the grandmother and the family. And I think it would have been better if you had just cut out all the random fucking naked Satanists at the end and just had it like the grandmother had been practicing in some sort of devil worship, and that's why this was happening to their family.
Yeah.
Instead of having, she was working with Satanists who are now being Satanists to the family. Like, you could have cut that out, and I think it just would have... Because also it would have worked in the theme of Hereditary, you know, and family...
See, with that
family's
name,
dark
I, thought,
secrets and
I
stuff.
Thought it was going to be, like, maybe some sort of possession going on, like, that passes down through the generations.
Yeah.
That's what I thought it was going with it, because the name is, like, really suggestive of that. So I was just like...
I thought it was going to be like the grandmother was going to possess the little girl.
Yeah. Otherwise, what that was. But yeah, it turns out it's a fucking demon of mischief or something. I don't know.
Which is so unoriginal.
Yeah.
Oh, it's another mischief demon. Wow, come on.
Making shit go down.
Like, can't we just have a demon of love and respecting women?
I do want to make a horror movie that turns out the ghost is really nice. that'd be great.
It was a bit... Like, again, there was a review that was like, oh, the much-hyped horror film delivers... It was much hyped. It didn't deliver.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I honestly don't see how it did. I don't understand. I was really looking forward to this, and yeah, I really wanted to love it, but I didn't love it as much as I wanted to.
I'm not even sure if I'd recommend it. I'd recommend you see it if you're interested in it.
If you want a good laugh.
And if you want a good laugh.
Yeah, if you can sit for like over 2 hours. I would say if you're not already a horror fan, definitely don't see this, because I think it's...
It's going to turn you off.
It's going to put you off life. I mean...
And if you are like a hardcore horror fan who wants good quality scary horror, don't see this because you're not gonna like
it. Stories, guys.
Yeah. Also, I think, I know this is going back a little bit, but I think in terms of the scares, they used sound quite well.
Yeah, like the way they use like both, you know, like binaural sound. I think if you watch this with headphones in, that would creep you the fuck out.
Yeah.
Because like it just felt like it gave me that creepy crawly feeling. Because, like, they do that kind of tongue click that was, like, really horrible. Yeah, the little
girl has, like, a
quirk. And I was like, oh, no. It's like, I'll never hear that sound the same way again. And every so often they'd use it, and I was just like, shit myself. So that was pretty good. That was kind of a nice little thing that they, kind of a little tick, I guess, they put in there.
Yeah.
For some reason, the demon does that. It just makes me think of Shane Dawson, because he does that. And it's just, the whole movie, I was like, is this Shane Dawson, like, possessing someone?
Just messing with the family.
Yeah. He would, though. Yeah, like, probably. For real.
But I probably have loads more to say about it, but this is quite long anyway.
Yeah.
So I don't want to go on.
To be fair, we don't have much else to talk about, so this is fine.
Yeah. To be fair.
We had
a bit dry this week.
This is a weird movie, okay? We had a lot to talk about, and I'm sorry, but we love horror and we love talking about it, so there you go. That's what this is about, I guess. So yeah, it was just a weird movie.
It was weird. It wasn't that good. It was disappointing. The more I think about it, the more disappointed. Because there's a really good, really interesting, really clever film in there.
Yeah, it's
just not getting out.
It's almost frustrating. Because it's like, the potential of it being so amazing was like there. You could see it. I mean, just in the opening scene where they have like the dollhouse. And like zooms in to the... I was like, oh, are they doing like a really cool... Oh, they fucking did the transition. Yes, they did. It was awesome. And I was like so happy. I don't know, just like stuff like that makes me really happy when I see that in films. It's like, oh, they did it like in an interesting way. And they had like, oh, it's so good. And I just love shots like that, you know? I don't know, I just got really excited at the beginning of the film when that happened. And I was like, this is going to be a fucking good film. And then it wasn't that great. But they had some good shots like that. And they filmed it in an interesting way, I think.
Yeah.
So, like, it was nice to look at. Yeah, they did some really good technical stuff with this, you know? It's just the story didn't make much sense.
No, the story was inconsistent. The acting was inconsistent. Also, the scares were inconsistent. Can we talk
about a bit at the end where the dad set on fire, where she throws the book into the fire, and you're
expecting... Don't even...
Because it's like...
He was robbed.
He was. And I was like,
he was like the nicest fucking guy. Yeah. And he just... Yeah, again, we've already announced spoiler alerts.
Yeah.
He randomly... Essentially, the mother tried burning a book that belonged to the daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And she kind of set on fire a little bit, so she put it out. Mm-hmm. And then she was saying, okay, to stop this curse, you need to throw this in the fire. I'm going to catch fire too, but I'm willing to sacrifice myself to save our son. And he's like, no, I'm not going to do this because it's just enabling your, you know, mental illness. So she does it. And then he sets on fire.
Yeah.
And it's like, why?
But that wasn't explained in any way.
No, it was just makes no sense whatsoever.
I know, maybe it's supposed to do with the whole mischief thing. And they're like, huh, psych. But I don't understand. Also, can we talk about the bit where, so like in the film, Toni Collette's character is like, she's sleepwalking. She used to sleepwalk and then she starts sleepwalking again. Yeah. And she's like having that dream where she's talking to her son and she's like, I didn't want to have you.
That and was so funny. Everyone just like, damn.
Everyone was like, what in the movie. Fuck? She was like, I tried to get rid of you. And it was like, oh shit, son.
Oh, damn. It was taking itself way too seriously, but that was hilarious.
It was so funny. She was like, yeah, I tried everything I could to get rid of you. And she was like, oh.
I tried to miscarry you. What?
And like, I didn't realize it was a dream at first. I was like, oh, this is going so badly. Yeah. This is not a conversation you want to have. Oh, Jesus.
But, I'm glad I didn't get rid of you. Almost, too late, Mom.
I'm almost disappointed that it wasn't real.
Yeah.
Because I really wanted it to be. It's so funny. It was, I don't know why, it's just, it made me laugh. I was just like, because I didn't see it coming. I was like, it's so funny.
It is.
Oh, so
funny. If it had a bit more humour in it.
If that was, I don't know if that was meant to be funny, but it definitely was. And if they had like played it off as funny,
yeah,
that would have been better, like for sure. But it just, yeah.
It didn't work.
No.
It was very disappointing.
So yeah, I think maybe we should end there. This has probably been a long one.
This has been a long one. But I wouldn't recommend
that,
it.
We've got that off our chest now. We've had our little rant, and it's fine.
We can release.
Yep. I feel better now. Yeah. I had all that pent up stuff about. Oh, I was just thinking about last night. I don't know. It was a weird one. So yeah.
Like, I wasn't even scared driving home.
Oh my god! Always scared. That's like nothing. This movie was like didn't even
affect me.
That's like something. I mean, usually you're like really.
I think
bad.
Everyone should judge horror films on how badly they scare me.
Yeah, because like I remember we came home from you drove home and you were like, Chloe, I'm like rats at my house in the car and I'm really freaking out.
Yeah. I parked my car outside my house, like even in the drive.
Yeah.
Safe at sound at home.
But it was that bit in the Ghost Stories where they have the guy
in the car. And I was like looking behind me whilst trying to put my keys away and stuff. And I was like, oh my god.
Oh, it's so funny. Like 90% of the entertainment I get out of horror films is just watching you squirm.
I need someone, a big strong man to hold me.
Definitely. I think that's it for Hereditary.
See it if you want to see it, but I wouldn't recommend it, quite honestly.
I don't know. I'd say maybe watch it on TV. Like, I wouldn't...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not... I feel bad for saying it, but to be honest, It was a good first effort.
I think it shouldn't have got as good reviews as it did. I think the guy will go on to do other great films.
I hope so.
I just think this was like a bit of a miss for me. And I think it just comes down to personal opinion.
Because there's a good nugget in there.
Yeah. Because there are some really good parts in it. But it just misses the mark
a little bit. I mean, which is a shame.
I couldn't do better, but I'm just going to judge it anyway. So,
excuse me, Chloe. I thought this was America. I thought we had freedom of speech.
Yep, so that's it. And next we're going to talk about some films. No, not films. We're going to talk about...
Jurassic World 2, Jurassic Fallen World Kingdom. 2.
Yep, okay. So...
Stay tuned. So next we're going to talk about Jurassic World 2 or Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. It's been out for about 2 weeks now, maybe three. We saw it last week.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it.
I did really... I enjoyed it more than the first one, for sure.
The first one was trash.
Yeah. I just hope... I actually didn't hate it as much as everyone else did, but like I don't think I'd bother watching it again. I've only watched it once.
It was pointless. There was no need in it. I think... Before we actually get into the nitty-gritty of it, I think it would have been better if they had not done Jurassic World 1 and just had this one as a continuation of the Jurassic Park trilogy. Yeah. That would have worked better. Forget Jurassic World 1. Mm. It's trash.
Yeah, but this one was actually good, and I just hope they end it here.
They're not going to, but they really should.
They definitely won't.
Because it has a good ending.
They'll milk it for its worth, and... Oh.
It has a really, like, apt ending for the Jurassic Park world.
Yeah, the franchise. It would just be a great ending. But,
I think in terms of story, it's not really... It's just another Jurassic Park film, really. Yeah. It's not anything too exciting.
They're trying to save the dinosaurs because they're on like the island with the volcano and they're trying to save them because but some people want them to become extinct and just stay on there and be, you know, killed, including Jeff Goldblum, who makes a cameo in this. People were still walking in late when he made his cameo.
Missed his cameo because of those bastards.
They are the worst kind of people. There's a special place in hell for them.
I think we should go on a little rant. There was like 20 minutes into the film, people were still walking into the cinema.
About five people
looked at their phones. One person fell asleep behind me and was fucking snoring for about 5 minutes.
Early on when we first sat down in our seats, there was like a 7-year-old who walked in with their mum. I was worried about her. She was fine. It was the adults in the room that were just okay, I'm done. I get so annoyed about it.
Let's go back to the film.
Every so often you get a really bad audience experience and this is one of those... But it's just annoying because you want to focus on the film, but you can't because there's just really annoying people around you. And it's like, stop. Just stop.
It was depressing.
Yeah.
I think the intro to this film was really good because I remember turning to you and going, I like this so far.
Yeah.
Because it starts very Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Like they're trying to get the a bone from the Indominus Rex from the first Jurassic World movie so that they can do some more splicing, because that's a good idea that they still have not learnt from.
We've only got like a million movies telling us not to do that.
And
fucking hell, they do not learn.
And then, you know, there's a... I don't know what the dinosaur's called. I'm not a paleontologist. But
I was once told that I should be one. I don't know why.
Paleontologists are rad.
Yeah, that's why I should be one, because I am rad.
And there's the giant sea dinosaur.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a T-Rex that attacks someone.
Yeah.
But they escape. And it's really it's really dark and it's raining.
Yeah.
And there's thunder and lightning and it's really nicely shot.
Yeah, they have some really good shots of this film. Like, they use shadows really well. And, like, there was one shot where, like, they're leaving the volcano island thing. And there's, like, the shot with, like, the volcano going off. And there's, like, a dinosaur there. It was a really cool shot. And it was, like, almost like a silhouette with, like, smoke and stuff. It was really awesome.
It was really nice. They similarly to Hereditary, they use lighting really well in this film.
Yeah, I did not expect it to. Like, it's not the kind of film you go into, like, thinking, oh, yeah, I'm going to see really good cinematography in this. You know?
Like, a lot of the time, because it kind of turned into a bit of a horror stalker bit at the end.
Yeah.
So
there were some horror elements in this for sure. Yeah. I mean, they had limbs flying around, you know, dinosaurs, like, good. Literally eating people. Because I haven't seen the other ones in a while, but I don't think they had that
ones.
This was, like, a higher rating, I think.
It wasn't gory, but...
It was more so, violent imagery than I would have expected than last time. Which is weird because it's a dinosaur movie, so you should really. But anyway, so that was good.
It had like a flashing light, so like you'd see a dinosaur, then you wouldn't, then you'd see a dinosaur and be closer, then you wouldn't, and then it'd be, you know. They use that really, really well, I think.
They did have some cheesy dialogue in it, but particularly one at the end with the little girl, who was really adorable, but she had that one line. I'll tell her, if we get into spoilers, I'll say it later, but fuck off. I was like, she was fine until this point, could you not?
Yeah.
It's just the worst. So yeah, we'll have to talk about the ending later.
And we'll talk about her a little bit later as well, because she fits into the ending. I thought the acting was okay. It was good acting, but it did feel a little bit like, oh, we're just here for the money now.
Yeah. I mean, they probably are.
Yeah. But it worked. It worked fine.
Yeah.
I did quite like how it turned from like an action in adventure film to a horror film.
Yeah.
And both worked really well.
Yeah. I hate that they showed the, like, really scary part in the trailer with the little girl in the bed, and you see it, and she's, like, they have the dinosaur, like, because you know she's going to be fine, but, like, it's just, like, if they hadn't shown that
trailer, I would have been
like, holy shit, if I'd seen that in the movie, like, without seeing the trailer first. Because that was a really cool, like, sort of horror moment. So, yeah, that was, that's just one of those things, like, this is why I avoid trailers now, unless I see trailers at the cinema. I try to avoid them because they show too much. And it's just really annoying. It's so annoying at this point.
They failed where Infinity War, Deadpool 2, and even Hereditary succeeded.
Yes.
I'll give them that one.
Yeah.
I know it's difficult to say because I really liked it, but it was also... There's a lot to dislike about it, I think. Yeah. Like, the story was incredibly unoriginal. It was just like, you know, oh, we've spliced another dinosaur, and now it's going to kill everyone.
Because it is like... How many original ones? Was it three or four?
There were three original ones.
So three original, and we got these two now. So it's like, how many times can you do like the splicing?
Rehashing the same old story a little bit. But having said that, it did work in this film because of the way they changed up the style and made it more horror. Like the dinosaur was stalking them more than just dinosaurs running wild.
Yeah.
So I think that worked in their favour.
It was like intelligent.
Yeah. Like it was opening windows and...
Yeah.
And, like, staying still when it was light and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It was good. I think it had some cooler stars. Like, I didn't realise Toby Jones was going to be in it.
Oh, really? I thought he was in the trailer.
I don't remember.
I, like, forgot he was going to be in it, though. Yeah. So when he came on screen, I was like, oh, yay!
It's this guy.
And Rice Bull was pretty good. I like him and stuff, usually, so, yeah. He was fine.
I think they were good. And I think what was also quite nice about it, when the villains in this were so horrible that when they did get their comeuppance, it was so satisfying.
It was almost like when John Wick gets his revenge for people killing his dog. It was like that level of satisfying. Because, like, you know, when you're just like, yes, I'm glad they got what they deserved, you know? It was, it really paid off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, at one point you thought one of them was going to get away
in
the lift because the door's closed.
Yeah.
And then... like the dinosaur flicked its tail accidentally and made the doors open again. And it was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, it's great. So, I want to get into the ending now. So, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it. So, at the end, they decide the dinosaurs are going to, like, die. There's, like, a poisonous gas or something. They're all going to die, and they're watching them die. But they could let them go. And there's a button that will let them go. And so, is it Bryce Dallas Howard? Is that her name? Her character is, like... Oh, I think her name's Claire in the movie. Yeah. But she's, like, she's going to let them go because she loves them. But then she's, like, no. It's probably best not to do that because everyone will die. But then the fucking kid comes along and presses the button anyway. And she's like, because it turns out she's a clone or something.
It's stupid. It's unnecessary.
It was unnecessary. And she was like, they're alive, like me or something. And I was I was like, oh, fuck off. It's just so annoying. Like, this kid is annoying me.
I had to because they're alive, like me.
I was like, just
like, fuck you.
Do you know how
get out of here.
You know who's not going to be alive? Everyone else, because you just let some fucking dinosaurs out. Fucking T-Rex, man. Come on. Like,
go take a time out.
I know she's like 10, but fuck off. Like, seriously. That was just the most irrational decision I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
So that really bugged me. I was like, why would you... Like, I know, I felt sorry. Every time a dinosaur dies, I'm like, fuck no. Don't do that. They don't deserve that. But this was like... For the betterment of humanity, maybe don't do that, you know?
I probably wouldn't have done it, just because the dinosaurs are great.
But you wouldn't have said it with that cheesy ass
line.
You would have said something cool, like, I don't know, can't think of anything right now. Like, just, I had to.
I had to.
Or just like, I just really fucking love dinosaurs.
Yes. Dinosaurs are so
weird. But yeah, her line and the delivery of the line was just really annoying.
Yeah.
So she was fine for the rest of the
film. I think this is the first movie, like anything she's ever been in.
Yeah.
And she was quite good.
She was good, but I think that cheesy line didn't do her any favours.
No. The dialogue was a bit weird.
Yeah.
I know we keep saying we like this film and then we keep trashing it because it's not a particularly good film, but it's enjoyable.
I wasn't even that excited for it because I didn't...
No.
I just don't care anymore. But like...
It's enjoyable to watch and it's fun to watch. That doesn't make it a good film.
Yeah. It's just entertaining, you know.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
That's what it's made for.
It's what it is.
It did its purpose.
Exactly. I think, I just had a go at it for rehashing older storylines and splicing dinosaurs and stuff. But I did think that this new dinosaur was pretty cool.
Yeah.
The Indoraptor. It looked really... The use of practical effects and CGI was so good in this film.
Yeah. Like, I mean, Jurassic Park is one of the biggest sort of leaps in terms of CGI and special effects and stuff like that. So, like,
it did it justice.
You look back at how incredible it looks in the first movie and you're like, fuck, some of the shit today looks terrible compared to that. And then you see something like this, oh yeah, like, its legacy is not dead. I love it.
Because when they do close-ups of the Indoraptor's face and the Indoraptor's teeth, and like there's saliva dripping out of it, and it's like, okay, this is really, really cool.
Yeah. So that's one thing we all still love. I think that's one of the great things about Jurassic Park.
Indeed.
I need to watch it again. It's so good.
I do think the... Because no one liked the character of Claire in the first one.
Oh, I wasn't too bothered.
She was a bit of a bitch.
I didn't hate her.
She was a bit of an idiot.
Yeah.
But in this one...
She's grown as a person. Yeah.
She was better in this one, but a bit... Not like she's changed as a person and she's kind of grown between these two films, but more like the writers... You could kind of feel the writers going, okay, so no one liked her in the first one. We've got to make her so much better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they just made her everything she wasn't in the first film a little bit.
Yeah, she felt like a very different person, but I'm kind of okay with that because no one seemed to like her in the first one, so that's fine. But yeah, she's like trying to save the dinosaurs, and I was like, that's cool.
Although I did like that a character did call her up on her shit of the first film.
Yeah.
So I like that they're kind of addressing their past mistakes a little bit.
Yeah.
That shows courage.
It takes balls to do that. Yeah. So is that what you have to say?
I think, yeah, there's not too much to say about it, to be honest. It's flawed, but if you just want a fun time.
Yeah, the same with the old one as well, you know. The first one, anyway. Like, I didn't hate it as much as everyone else did. I just thought it was all right, you know, entertaining. I went to see it in the cinema. I was like, fine, pass the time, you know?
Yeah.
In this sad, sad life, we just want to pass the time with these entertaining action movies, you know? That's just the way, you know?
Exactly.
That's what these movies are supposed to be, really.
And I think it had some good Easter eggs and, like, fan service to the original trilogy. So you could kind of... I think less so, no, more so than the first Jurassic World did. Yeah. You could kind of tell that they were respecting the original trilogy a lot more in this film, which I liked.
Yeah.
So I would recommend seeing it if you just want like a nice Sunday evening out at the cinema. Now I'm going to talk about E3, which, as a lot of people know, is the biggest, I think it's the biggest, gaming convention in the world.
Yes.
Which happened last week. There was a lot of conferences. I'm not gonna talk in depth about it because this episode's already 45 minutes long because of the rant we had about Hereditary.
We are so sorry, but we're not sorry.
We're not that sorry. So I'm not going to go into like a massive detail of everything that happened and everything that was shown, because to be honest, if you really want to know about it, you'd know about it already and you would have seen it and been watching it. This is the first year I actually properly followed it and watched most of the conferences. And I was quite pleased with what I saw, to be honest. It was quite interesting. I think, in my opinion, and again, this is just my opinion, I'm sure like everyone listening, all two of you listening, will have completely different opinions. This is just my opinion. I think Ubisoft won this year's E3 because they had a really cool conference and they had some really awesome announcements and awesome games announced slash more details given about ones we already knew that were coming. So I think they won this year's E3, as much as I love Nintendo. But what I'm going to do today is just do a really, I'm going to try be a little bit quicker, really quick four or five games that I saw that I think look really interesting and that I'm going to get. So the first one, of course, because I'm, as I'm sure most of you know right now, I'm a Nintendo head. I love a bit of Nintendo.
You dork.
You dork, how dare you. So as we already knew going into this one, and everyone who watched the Nintendo conference knew that this was going to be the big thing. The new Super Smash Bros., which is everyone's favourite Nintendo game. Did you ever play it, Chloe?
I don't think so. I don't have any Nintendo consoles.
Well, when I get it, we're going to be playing it.
Okay.
It's essentially nearly every character, loads of characters from all the Nintendo franchises, and a couple of other franchises, like including Sega's Sonic is in it. Essentially, they come together and they fight each other. And like really nice, like cartoon nice violence with items like Pokeballs and black holes and stuff. And it's just so much fun, and everyone loves it. And this one is being marketed as, and I think it actually is, the biggest one yet, because they're bringing back every single character who's ever been in a Smash Bros. Game. So that's like 66 odd characters.
Holy shit, that's a lot.
Like loads of stages and items and stuff. So I think that's all we really, including a couple of new characters such as Ridley, who is, I'm going to say this name completely wrong, but Samus is like one of her arch nemesis is.
Nemesis.
So that's really cool because I think fans have been asking for him for a really, really long time. So that's really cool. Waluigi still isn't in it, though. Fucking Waluigi. Everyone's so depressed. There's a load of amazing memes. Of like, you know the...
Oh, I think I've seen one of them, yeah.
The lie down, try not to cry ones.
Yeah.
And there's a lie down, try not to war a lot. It's just the best. But that's a bit depressing. But yeah, we don't know too much about it, except for it's the biggest one yet. Who's going to be in it? It looks really cool. I do hope... I mean, there's going to be more modes, I'm sure, than just plain fighting, but I really hope that there's going to be a story mode because I love story mode so much. The next one is another Nintendo game, but it's really a Ubisoft game with a slight collaboration with Nintendo. It's called Starlink Battle for Atlas, and it's like we don't know too much about it, but it looks like a really interesting science fiction game where essentially what I love about this game is because you're in a spaceship and you have different pilots and different weapons and stuff, but it's got a really cool toy building element of it. Like it's got a little stand and you put your controllers in and then you've got the little model of the spaceships And as you're like changing the wings around and building in the weapon, putting the weapons on physically on the little models, they change in game, and it just looks like so much fun. Like I don't know too much about the story, to be honest, except you're fighting like an evil empire, of course. But I just think that the building element of it looks really interesting and really fun, and kind of harkens back to childhood, like Lego building, which looks cool. And the link with Nintendo is, and I really like that. I mean, I'm a bit of a dick, but I really like that this is only on Nintendo Switch, because fuck you other guys. They've got Star Fox, who's like a really beloved, iconic Nintendo character, coming. And I like the fact that you can complete the entire game by just playing as him, and playing as his him and his spaceship. And they've even got little extra Star Fox missions, which is going to be really, really cool. Then, of course, the big one that everyone's really excited about is Fallout 76.
That is going to be an Bethesda. Online game, isn't it? Is it?
It has online multiplayer elements of it. From what I've heard, it's not going to be like, you know, Battle Royale. You encounter hundreds of people. You're going to encounter like a couple of dozen people at a time. And you can team up or you can fight them. But I think there is going to be, of course, there's going to be a story to it. And I think you can complete the story alone, or you can team up with people, which I think is pretty, I think that's pretty cool. I think that's pretty interesting. It's a prequel to all the other Fallout games. It's four times bigger than Fallout 4. And anyone who played Fallout 4 knows that it was fucking massive. So that's going to be amazing. So I think everyone's really excited about that, and that's going to be really cool. Really small mention, because we know absolutely nothing about this except that it's happening. That, did you ever play it? Did you ever play the Doom?
Doom? No. What, you're talking about, like, the Dwayne Johnson movie game one?
You shut your mouth. Dwayne the Rock, we don't talk about the Dwayne Rock Johnson movie. It was a classic game. I heard
it was terrible, but...
Yeah, but it's based on classic mm-hmm. Doom game, and there was a updated one in 2006, I think, and it was really, really fucking rad. It was so cool. And they're bringing out a sequel to it called Doom Eternal, so I think that's going to be really awesome.
Cool.
And then there's another one, my last one I'm going to talk about, because I know we're getting on for time a little bit, is another one from Ubisoft, which is called Transference, and I think you can play it in virtual reality or just normal, which is I quite like. And it's like a collaboration with Elijah Wood's company Spectrevision. And Elijah Wood's actually gonna be in it, I think.
Yeah.
So it's like, of course, please. I'm gonna get this game. So it's like you don't know too much about it, but it's essentially
That's all we need to know about it.
That's all you need to know about.
Honestly.
But it's like you play as a child who is trapped inside his obsessive father's corrupt mind, and it's a bit of a horror game.
That does sound horrific.
And it looks really cool, and the fact that it's got Elijah Wood in it, it's going to be really interesting. I'm going to get it.
Yeah.
So I think that's really awesome. I think some honourable mentions need to go to the randomly announced Super Mario Party that's going to come out as well this year. That looks really cool, because who doesn't love Super Mario Party? And Beyond Good and Evil 2. I never actually played the first one, so this is the first I actually saw of it. And I just really want to give honourable mention to the fact that it deals with its fans really, really well, and works in collaboration with its fans really, really well. Like, when they were talking about it in the conference, they were essentially, there's like not a competition, but you can submit pieces of music, pieces of art, etc., and they will put it in the game.
That is really cool.
So like literally, it's not a competition to, you know, the best one will be put in the game. It's just if you have a, and it's not like individual, it's not just to promote yourself individually, but to like work together as a community.
That's really sweet.
Which I think is really, really cool. I think there was a lot of that in this E3. I think honourable mention has to go to that one. I feel like these companies are really starting to work with their fans a lot more and really encapsulate what... I can't say the word. I'm rambling.
It's okay, man.
what, you know, they've been saying all along, that the games are for the players.
Mm.
And I really feel like they're actually starting to do that now and work with the fans. And I just think that's really, really cool.
Yeah.
So this E3 was a good one. Those are the games I'm really excited for. What are you excited for? Tell yourself, because we can't listen.
So this is the outro. Sorry I didn't get to talk about my book that I was going to talk about, but I guess I can do it next time. Hopefully I'll have finished by then. We didn't expect the episode to be this long. We didn't know we had so much to say.
So much to release about Hereditary.
We had a lot of feelings. Yeah.
Emotions.
Which is, you know, it was a wild ride, but here we are. So I just decided I think we should have like a fuck-off moment of the week. And this week, my fuck-off moment is that 13 Reasons Why I got Series 3.
Fuck off. I had forgotten about that as well.
Get out of here. I can't believe... I was so angry when I saw that.
I'd put it out of my mind and now it's all come flooding back.
So yeah, that's our fuck-off moment of the week. I think it should be a regular
Brooklyn Nine-Nine nearly gets cancelled. Fuck off.
No. I finished watching Series 5, by the way. It was very good. And I nearly cried at the end. So it was so good. I think next week we can talk about... Oh, not next week, next time. We can talk about maybe Queer Eye. We've started the first episode of Series 2, which has just been released.
Cried about 10 times already?
I can't. If it's not an episode of Queer Eye unless you cry. I mean, every fucking episode, it happens. I'm just like, ugh. And I love how you've, like, I swear to God you're getting gay too, because you're like, Anthony's so handsome.
Anthony's a fucking beast.
He
should be in a gorgeous movie.
He is. He looks like a 90s heartthrob. I just, wow. But yeah, I love the show so much. And yeah, we've actually just started an Instagram. If anyone wants to follow, see what we're going to post about stuff that we're going to maybe, that we're watching across the week and stuff that we want to talk about. So
yeah.
What was the thing?
It's literally just, hey, we're talking here.
But with underscores between the words.
Yeah.
So we'll also post on our social media as well with the link to that.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And we'll try and follow a few people as well. Get it started.
Yep.
So that's exciting.
We've also got Ocean's 8 coming out. Ocean's so we could 8. Talk about that as well. I'm kind of excited about it a little bit. I mean, like, I'm not excited, but I'm like, I think it looks all right. But I don't want to be, like, fooled by the trailer because they use a cool song again. It happens to me every time.
I'll watch it just because we have to review it.
Yeah.
But I couldn't really care less, I'm afraid.
It's fine. You don't have to watch it. I'll watch it. It's fine.
I'll watch it. It's fine. I should watch it.
I haven't seen the other ones, so it'll be interesting. Yeah, so sorry this episode was so long. We just had so many interesting things to say that we had to do it.
Had to let it all out.
Yeah, so sorry we're missing the TV section this week, but we just wanted to say...
Haven't had any time this week.
Didn't want to waste all your time.
Next time I can talk about flowers for a bit.
We also want to talk about BuzzFeed.
yes.
Unsolved, which we decided we hate BuzzFeed, but we love this show.
It's great.
Hey, demons, it's me, your boy.
It's the classic meme.
Classic meme, and it's just like me. Like, if I were... So me, like, they're both like two halves of me.
Same.
Because one of them's like really scared and the other one's a skeptic and he's like, come haunt me, guys. It's really funny. So yeah, I definitely recommend that. It's not like a new thing, but we just started watching it and it was really good.
It's on Amazon.
Yeah. So yeah, but we'll see you all next time. Bye.
See you later.